Welcome back. This is part two.
We got cut off. We didn't know that our app had a...
Yeah, we didn't realize that it was like... It timed out after like 120 minutes or something. But just to jump back in... By the way, real quick. How lit are you right now?
I mean, I'm like three beers deep.
You're three beers deep?
But I had a little bit of a breather. So I think I kind of sobered up a little bit. But you had the whole... You've had like close to three of the 9% alcohol beers. And I'm just having my Dos Equis. So I imagine you're feeling a little more litter than I am.
I'm not going to lie. So what we did on that little break, we went and ran to the gas station, grabbed some cigarettes, mostly for me, you know, a smoke on the down low, you know. But
sometimes I partake in it.
You know, I'm a bad influence. What can I say?
I mean, but like, I don't do it when he's not around. Like, if he's like, hey, you want to smoke? I'm just like, yeah, you know, yeah.
But when I stood up, I'm not even kidding, dude. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, oh, damn, dude. Like, okay, I'm feeling it right now. But back to topic, what we're on.
Just, what makes you tick?
Yeah, what makes me tick? And kind of just continuing in the continuity for our listeners, because you know Greg's gonna have a hissy fit about this. But what we were talking about was mostly the, like, you know, what my worldview used to be was people are shitty, and so I need to be better than them. What my worldview now is people are actually really good. Like, there's a lot of good people out there. You're one of them. You know, people that you can rely on, people you can trust, people that you can, you know, really, they, you know, that in a moment of need they'll help you out. And so my worldview now is like, okay, now I owe those people. I owe those people to be the best version of myself. And if I can't provide that product, you know, that version of myself that's the best, then it's an unsuccessful day, you know?
Now you see, that kind of, it's like if everybody had that thought process of being like, I'm going to be the best version of who I am.
Yeah.
Right? Then I think socialism would work.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Getting into the politics of it all.
Because it's like, the way socialism would not work would be if people were like, oh, people are going to do shit for me, so I'll just be a shitty person, or I just won't do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not, so then that's when people would be like, wait, I'm doing this for them, but I don't want to do that. So it's like, no one's going to want to work.
Yeah.
So, but if everybody had that mindset to be like, I want to be the best person I can be, best version of myself.
Yeah.
Then I think socialism would work, because people would be like, okay, I can't rely on them to help me out.
Yeah.
Right? I need to be able to help, also help myself out as well. And also be like, oh, okay. I'm going to try my best, but if I don't get there, at least I have some type of like net.
Yeah. Support.
Support.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't just rely on that all the time.
Yeah.
Or just be.
But if you're the perfect, like if you're absolutely trying every day to be the best version of yourself, you're not relying on that all the time.
Yeah.
You're just going to use it when you need to, because human failings, like,
yeah.
And ironically, like bringing this back to philosophy a little bit. This has been like a point of contention in philosophy for centuries, of like realism versus idealism. Because like there's so many ideas out there that ideally, like if the world was this way 100%, it would work.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's not, it doesn't, you know? So a really good example of this is, you know, Nazism, right? Nazism is super interesting, because like the reason Nazism doesn't work is because it's promoting a certain race over another race, or over all other races, right? So the Aryan race over other races. Mm-hmm. And that is inherently unjust, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, it infringes on justice of, you know, like for instance, the most popular version of it is Jews, right? Like they persecuted the Jews. They killed 6 million of them. And we can look at that and be like, that is inherently unjust. What if, though, the entire world was of the Aryan race? All of a sudden, there's no infringement. you know? Like, there's, now you're just trying to promote who you are, right? Which is an inherently good action. Like, you want to promote the best qualities of yourself. And that's where that split comes in, because it's like, okay.
But that's
not how it is.
Yeah, that's not how it is. But that's, like, what their goal was. That's why they wasted all those juices, because, oh, you're not Aryan, you're not a part of this brotherhood, you're going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to die.
Exactly. And what's also super fast... Oh, my God. What?
I just thought of a fucking funny-ass, very offensive TikTok. What if you were, like, Hitler, and there was, like, three Jews on you, and you were just like, you're going to die.
You're going to die.
You're going to die. You're going to die. What do I mean?
We're very drunk at this point.
Oh, shit. That'd be funny as fuck, but also bad.
But terrible. Yeah. But terrible. So, a really interesting part of this is that... let me bring this back around. Where was I going with this? Oh, dear.
About Nazism.
Yeah. So, with socialism, what's super interesting is that ideally it would work, right? So, like, if everyone is striving to be the best person that they can be within the, you know, within their worldview, right? Ideally, then socialism would work, because there are certain values that we rely on as just naturally principled, such as, you know, camaraderie, loyalty, you know, integrity, all these things.
Everyone's not like that, that's the thing.
Exactly, exactly. And so what's super interesting, though, is that a lot of viewpoints can be, and you can kind of convert this to the modern political climate, right? One of the individuals with some of the most followers is Bernie Sanders, who's a self-proclaimed democratic socialist. And he has a lot of followers, and it's a very appealing idea and stuff. But that's one of the problems, is that a lot of the people who have a lot of followers or who claim to have something based on the ideal, and although they may be louder than the rest, the world just isn't shaped like that. It's just not. And so a really good example of this, without trying to be offensive or anything like that, is the gay rights movement. Less than 1% of the population identifies as homosexual. And yet they've been able to make a lot of noise, right? They've been able to change laws. They've been able to have a real applicable stance on the way government is run and the way politics is run and legality. However, 99.9% of the population is heterosexual. So how does that play into this idea of this the ideal versus real, right? You can take an ideal, you can have an ideal, and you can't implement it and really revolutionize what your reality is. And people forget that. Martin Luther King, great example of that, right? I have a dream. You know, at that point, there was segregation. There was this distinct separation between African-Americans and the rest, right? So you can take the ideal and basically make the reality that ideal.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's rare, and it's far and few between. It's like the person who says, I'm going to go to Hollywood, and I'm going to make it.
There's a lot of variables.
Yeah, 99 of the 100 are not going to make it in Hollywood. It's just not going to happen. But every so often, someone hits it big. So it's that balance of, like, taking this ideal and saying, okay, I have this ideal and I want to implement it into reality and I want to change the way the environment around me operates. Mm-hmm. And the big question mark is that feasible, you know? So with socialism, for instance, a lot of it is based on ideals. It's based on the good nature of individuals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it requires that cooperation of good nature. So the question then is are you able to shape the reality around you to conform to that? My argument would be no.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to, because even though most people are good, there's also, that doesn't mean there's not a lot of shitty people, you know? And
they might not even just be shitty. They're just lazy.
Yeah. And, or they're very money driven, right? Yeah. If your entire ambition is a paycheck, you're not going to want socialism, you know? You want to make as much money as you want to make.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to necessarily help anyone out. So it's one of those things that you have to really look at and be like, okay, is this a movement or is this an idea that can actually supplant the current reality?
I think it's like the full thing of socialism is being, so there was this one economics professor, right, who hit her class thought that socialism would work, right? Yeah. So she was like, okay, so he did an experiment, and they took the first test, and then all she did was she took the scores of the test, and then she averaged them out, and then it was a B, so she gave everyone a B, right? Because that's what socialism is.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, cool, but the people who studied hard
and got an A,
got a B, so they were kind of mad. People who studied less, who got like a C or D, got a B, so they were pretty happy, right? So the people who studied less studied even less. People who studied hard studied less.
Yeah.
For the second test.
Yeah.
And they got a D.
Yeah.
Right? And then the third test came around, did the same thing, got an F.
Yeah.
Right? So they all failed the class because of that. But the thing is, what Bernie Sanders is trying to do is not, I don't know if he's trying to give everybody the same pay or give everybody like this whole same thing.
Yeah.
But I personally believe that there has to be something to be done for the people who are on the low class.
Yeah. Like the, a reckoning.
Yeah. Who are in the projects, who are in the streets, who can't really do anything for themselves because they have a disability or because they just don't have the means to.
Yeah.
Something has to be done for them. So I think that's what Bernie is trying to do, or should do, or someone should do, is this. I mean, people who are in the high class, who are the 1%, whatever, the multi-billionaires and millionaires, honestly, you don't need that much money. You really don't. Did you know that if you were to make $240,000 a year, right? It would take you close to 4,200 years to be a billionaire. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But $240,000, if someone would give you $240,000 right now, what would you do?
I'd be pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could live, you probably could live off that. If you really tried, you could live off that.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
But imagine if you had $1 million.
Yeah.
Just $1 million. If someone's like, here's $1 million, live off of it. Could you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but there are multi-billionaires out there.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Who makes, what, $130 billion a year?
He's the richest man on earth, right?
Yeah. His wife divorced him, there was a divorce, and she immediately became the 14th richest person in the world. Yeah. 14th. But he's still
He's number one.
He's still number one. So, but the thing is, I feel like there should be something done. Like, you don't need that much money. You could be doing so much more for the whole world. Not even just your country, just the whole world. You could be doing so much more. And that's why I feel like there should be something like, okay, you know what? Good for you. You made a success. You're making all this money. Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
But there should be some type of like, okay, cool. But could you, like, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to give some portion of your money to us. I know they have to pay taxes, right?
Yeah.
But there's tax breaks. They get the charity.
Yep.
But it's like, okay, How about you just give a certain percentage of what you get?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you make $100 million a year. You have to give, you have to give like $10
million. So like a 10%.
Yeah, 10%.
Know. So this would be my question to that. In America especially, right, we value what we're given, right? The newest phones, the latest innovation. Would something like that stifle that? And if so, let's say for argument's sake, it does stifle the innovation. Because people, like you said, for instance, the individuals who get A's, right, they get a B. Even though they study for an A, they get a B. So they're not going to study as hard, right? Let's say that innovation stalls because of the certain way the taxes basically are operated in a socialistic democracy, right? What would you as an individual, or what would people as individuals value more? Would they value that extra income, or that extra, you know, the lower end of the totem pole, would they value that more? Or would they value more the fact that the newest iPhone has X, Y, and Z? Because that's the thing. Like, Tim Allen, the CEO of Apple, right, makes a shit ton of money. Makes so much money.
Yeah.
Apple as a corporation makes so much money. And we could tax them. But what would their incentive then be to produce the best possible iPhone?
Well, to that I would say iPhones suck anyways. So. But honestly, the best possible
iPhone. CC loved this podcast up until that moment. Continue.
But anyway, but like, what more do you want from a phone, right?
Because
they're beginning to make phones that have features that are like, here's all this shit. Like the new Samsung S20.
Right? Yeah.
It can go 100 like times zoom, right? You can fucking look at a fucking hot air balloon and have like clear picture. Right?
Yeah. I like, love how you just went straight to hot air balloon.
Yes. But it's like, but it's like, who the fuck
why is going to use that?
It? Why do you need that? So there's lots of things that people don't actually need. But I mean, I guess people would be like, oh, well, it's good that I have it. But it's like, when are you ever going to use that?
Yeah.
So I think at a certain point, these phones got a plateau. They don't need to keep going up and up and up. And I get that they're trying to make revenue and stuff, right? But it's like, but you don't need it. And people are just going to buy your phone just because they want to have those features. They want, it's more of like a status thing. Like, oh, I got the newest phone and stuff. But these companies are just doing this just so that people could just buy their shit. They just want to have the new thing out there. But they don't, again, they don't need all of this. They don't, like, the same way that they don't need all this money.
Yeah. No, I do agree. Like, there's that famous quote in the Bible, not to get too Christian-y on you, but there is that famous quote, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the whole idea there is that when you are wealthy and when you have made a lot of money and when you're essentially at the top, right, it's difficult to gain the grand scheme, the perspective. We both come from pretty conservative backgrounds, I would imagine. Like, you're from Texas. I'm originally from Kansas, right? My family grew up Catholic. Your family Christian. There's probably a lot of conservative values floating around there. The opposite of that is liberal values. And generally speaking, the truth is going to lie somewhere in between those two, right? It's going to be kind of a combination of both. Obviously, we want justice for the little man, right? The person who's struggling. But at the same time, good work should be rewarded, you know? So there's that balance between conservative and liberal that especially in today's modern political climate, is very difficult to achieve. Now, that
being... Yeah, you get one or the other.
Yeah, it's a very like, oh, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. It's like, well, yeah, yes and no. Like, for instance, myself, I identify as a Democrat. However, I'm pro-life. So that's a different, like, that's a different Democrat than the mainstream
You're
Democrat.
You're pro-life as in, like, shooting in abortions?
Yeah, so, like, for instance, I don't support abortion. However, I identify as a Democrat. So, like, on a fiscal, domestic, and foreign level, I'm more Democrat.
Is that more of your Catholic views?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Because, I mean, honestly, most, like, my girlfriend's Catholic.
Yeah.
Her whole family's Catholic. She was brought up Catholic, so they usually go for the Republican vote.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Catholic vote, is the Republican vote.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like that's not the best move at times.
It isn't.
Just because, oh, this candidate's pro-life, I'm going to vote for them. Yep. What about other shit?
Exactly, and that's what makes a single-issue voter. So if you look at the history of, like, the liberal Democratic Party, right, mm-hmm. the Democrats... Historically speaking, from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the Democrats were the Catholic Party. The Catholics, if you were Catholic, you voted Democrat, right? If you were Protestant, you voted Republican. The Republicans over time morphed into the pro-life party. And so a lot of Catholics get sucked into that aspect, which I'm not saying is necessarily bad, mm-hmm. but you don't want to be a single issue voter. You don't want to vote just based on abortion, mm-hmm. right? So for instance, myself, I'm not for abortion. I'm just not. Like, that's where I kind of draw the line in the sand. However, I'm also not for a lot of the Republican values, you know? So if given the chance, because the current law, the way it's stated, is that you are allowed to have an abortion. Okay, that's the current law.
For some states.
And for most of the country, that's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
And unless there's a Republican candidate who comes in and is clearly going to oppose that and reverse the law, that is how the law is stated. So I'm going to support someone based on X, Y, and Z, a plethora of different issues.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, just to use the current modern political climate. So you have Donald Trump and whoever the Democratic nominee is. There's no reason for me to believe, none whatsoever, that Donald Trump is going to reverse Roe versus Wade and is going to change the abortion laws in America. There's no reason for me to believe that. He has financed his own abortions. So why would I believe that?
You mean like his actual personal abortions?
No, yeah. Like, he actually, there's documented cases, two, I think, specific cases of him documented paying for abortions. So why would I believe that that individual is going to change the abortion law? It's not going to happen. At the Republican National Convention in 2016, it was the first time at the RNC that abortion was not mentioned once. It just wasn't mentioned. Because I don't think that's a major aspect of his platform.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's probably one of two issues maybe that I agree with the Republicans. So if neither of those are going to get switched, then I have to go to other issues where I agree with the Democrats more, right? And it depends on the Democrat. So for instance, with Bernie, you know, Bernie versus Trump, that'd be a tough decision. Buttigieg versus Trump, Biden versus Trump, I'm going to side with Buttigieg and Biden every day. They're more moderate, you know, they're not as...
Left-wing.
Yeah, they're not as left-wing, not as idealistic there.
You don't think you're going to go Warren?
Man, I really like Warren, but, like, she's so left-wing, man. Yeah. I love the idea that she has a plan for everything. I love that.
Yeah.
Have a plan. That's awesome.
Will it work, though? That's the question.
Exactly. It's like okay, well, how feasible is your plan?
Yeah.
You know? Man, we have really digressed into a political stance here. This is intense.
Yeah.
I think one of the things...
Sometimes when you're drunk, you go into politics.
Yeah, we are very drunk.
This is a new segment called Drunk Politics.
Drunk politics.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised we can be pretty articulate when we're drunk.
Yeah, I'm very drunk right now. I chatted Cadet Cruz and I was like, hey, by the way, shout out Cadet Cruz. I was like, hey, man, if you want to come over and join the pod for part two, feel free.
You know? Some people are kind of flicks, you know what I'm saying?
They are. Some of them are, you know? Not saying you're a flake, Cadet Cruz. That was all Brandon right there. That was
you have a problem with me, you can come over right now.
Oh my gosh. So, one of the other questions that I wanted to get to on this podcast, you know, getting to know you more, right, is the idea of, so we've touched on like career and what you want to do and how you view your degree and then also how you've been brought up, right? So, and we've even touched on like viewpoints, you know, so like how you view individuals and how you view the world around you and stuff like that. One of the things I wanted to touch on real quick was more of a theological / philosophical aspect. Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned you've been brought up Christian. I've been brought up Catholic, you know, and for my family, it was a big deal. Like, it was an actual large part of our life. And I stopped practicing Catholicism for a couple of years there. However, I do practice Catholicism currently. So how do you view that aspect of your religious background in the way that you view life or approach life now?
I'd pee. First and foremost.
Can you just see Greg typing that email, critiquing our podcast?
Look, I'm sorry, all right? I'm sorry, Greg, that I have human bodily functions at certain points of an inconvenience for you, okay?
He's drank some beer and smoked a cigarette.
You know what?
Fucking man pee.
You know what? Just let me pee.
Just let him pee.
And you don't even have to be great, all right? If you're criticizing this podcast right now because I have to pee, well, you can stop listening. But,
looking at you, Greg.
But you can keep listening because we need the views.
We do need the views. We're on the cusp. I'll hold down the fort all while right. You're gone.
So, yeah, Payne is going to hold down the fort, and I'm going to go hold down the John.
There you go. You got it, my man. There you go. So while Brandon is away, I wanted to touch on a couple things. First and foremost, again, if you have any questions at all that you want to hear us talk about on this podcast, feel free to email us at conversationalistpodcast@gmail.com. We'd be glad to, you know, not only answer questions, but if you ever wanted to come on the podcast, we'd be lucky to have you. We do have a few viewers, specifically Greg from New Jersey, specifically, who ask a lot of questions on the podcast, and we'll get to those as soon as we possibly can. One of my favorite things about doing this podcast is the fact that it's very informal. It is what the title says it is. It's a conversation. So if you've made it this far into the podcast, thank you so much for your views, and I hope you understand the point of this podcast. We live in a world that is kind of devoid of human connections. So conversations are extremely important, no matter how drunk or dumb they may seem. So feel free to email us. We're going to have a Twitter and Instagram up here relatively soon. If any of our listeners, which I know a large majority of you do, have my information, whether it's social media or phone number, feel free to ask me, like, hey, I want you to talk about this on the next podcast, and we definitely will. Now, I will say this. Most of our podcasts will not be gradually getting drunk. I'm pretty lit right now. Not going to lie. I'm pretty lit. I'm a few beers deep. All I can think about right now at this very moment is my bed. However, I know when I lay down in my bed, my head is going to be spinning like crazy.
That happens to you too?
Yes, man. Yes.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's a very strange feeling. You kind of have to roll your side to be able to, oh man, I just got that vibe right now. Just moving in my seat. Brandon, do you have anything to plug before we end this or anything at all?
Well, I gotta say, technically I was the host in this podcast. So you know I'm sorry, I was the guest. You were the host in this
podcast. Yeah.
And I gotta say, you have been a fine host.
You know what? You've been a fine quote unquote guest. Cheers. You know, one of the things we were talking about is like kind of formatting it in a Rogan-esque style, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we've definitely developed our own style, aka getting drunk and talking. But I'm not going to lie, I did learn a lot about you today. I think the listeners will agree too, right? Like,
hey, I mean, I am who I am, you know? That's why I stick with. And that's it, really. Like,
self-love, baby.
I love myself.
Yeah.
I'm fucking weird sometimes. But you know what? That's who I am. So I love
you. Yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that, man. I feel you.
But you know who else I love? I love you.
I love you too, man. I love you too. And this is probably one of the most important aspects of conversations is that, so for instance, me and you, we vibe, right? There's a certain love there, right? Can you respect another individual? You know, I think that's one of the harder things, especially for dudes to do, for men, you know, like you want to hold yourself in a certain regard and you know, but if you can love and respect the person across from you while you're talking, not only is it going to better your communication, but it's also going to better your viewpoint on life. It's going to make you smile more and it's going to give you more of a positive attitude on life. It's awesome. When you really truly understand where someone's coming from and you're able to respond to it effectively and compassionately, it's a game changer.
I agree. You know what? That was like, that was beautiful.
It's the fucking Rasputin, dude. It's the beer, man.
Rasputin sounds like you would hear that in a fucking communist book.
Right, dude? Yeah, old Rasputin, Imperial Stout. Rasputin was a weird dude. If you ever want to read some weird, wacky shit, that's the guy to go to. Email us again, conversationalistpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to probably set something up tomorrow, get on this, because we need to set up a Twitter and an Instagram for it. However, we are sick of getting emails from simply Greg, okay? Greg's awesome, don't get us wrong.
Greg, you know what? If you're out there, keep sending us questions.
Keep sending us questions, but let's get a few more going here too. We'll definitely answer questions on the pod. Greg did have one specific question, and that was to Brandon specifically. And the question from Greg is, how do you feel? And by the way, I need to preface this with Greg is a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Greg asked, how do you feel about the Cowboys not making the playoffs this year?
Fuck Jason Garrett.
Well, you got Mike McCarthy now, man. Yep. So there you go. All right. This is The Conversationalist.
And this is Brandon Thurheel.
And James Payne. And we're going to sign off right now. All right. So drunk right now.
Cheers. That sounded good.
That sounded good.